Hey, what's up, Toby? We have made it to the Process Debt Podcast, episode number 8.
Ocho.
And today we will be talking about virtuous cycles.
Mm.
Now, virtual cycles, those can be great.
Virtual or virtuous? Which cycle?
Virtuous. Are you talking about? Let's do virtuous.
Well, virtual cycles probably on a future episode. How's that?
Virtual cycles.
The power of virtual process.
It's like virtual currency.
It is.
Sounds good.
That's how you retire young like us.
It's a technology finding a problem. No, virtuous cycles. One of the patterns that I've recently noticed, and actually as I noticed it, I was like, oh man, that happens a lot, which is when I believe that knowledge work is a lot about the transfer of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Specifically in business processes, it's the transfer of that knowledge. Whereas if you're a developer, it's basically transferring, a lot of times it's transferring of data. Mm. And so it's slightly different, but there's this unvirtuous cycle, which is we deliver a deliverable. A lot of times those deliverables can be a PowerPoint, a Word doc,
yeah,
a Confluence page. It could be any, a roadmap, whatever. Yeah. We can deliver that. And oftentimes, those send like poor signals, meaning there's something different in this presentation than my peer gave in their presentation.
So now we're in something mixed messaging is kind of.
Yeah. So there's this mixed signal between the two groups because there's no consistency in what the deliverable is.
Right.
And so, I work in a product org. And so we have, X amount of product people. And if I deliver something and then my peer delivers something and it's different, whoever went second or whoever has the ugliest looking presentation has basically sent a signal, a poor signal, a signal of like poor quality. And that leads to kind of if I'm the receiver of that knowledge, I don't trust either that person or sometimes the entire org, right? Or the entire delivery process of whatever. And so what the unvirtuous cycle happens is what that leads to is more control.
Mm-hmm. In the around security, that. You have correct. To lean into it and really get more actively engaged. Okay.
Correct. But the control is misaligned.
Yeah.
So the control is actually aligned to fixing the signal.
As opposed to the outcome that we were trying to move towards.
Correct.
Yeah. Love it. I love it.
Which is this. And so then what happens is you have this change, right? And that's fine. Change happens, right?
Yeah.
Now, one of the gains that we have is, gradual change, right? Like being disciplined in how you do these changes, especially if there's more than one person. Because if it's one person giving an analysis, you have no cohort to compare it to.
Yeah.
But if you have a cohort to compare your deliverables to, and there's, one of these things is not like the other, or everything is inconsistent, it's just rough. And so more control to improve the signal, which leads to rework, right? Or change in what's being delivered, which leads to confusion, which leads to poor signals, which is this just unvirtuous cycle that's just around and around and around. Yeah.
Chris, that reminds me of, and I'm sure we've all seen the memes where it's like, I will perform this task for $100 an hour. If you ask me what I'm doing, it's $150.
Yeah.
If you want to weigh in on my initial design before I deliver it, it's 200.
Yep.
So I think that little meme that we've all seen where the more involved the receiver of the outcome is, the higher the cost. I think that's a very true thing. And that's the human in it, right?
Yeah.
What you're describing is like if in our race to all have access to information, all of a sudden we've eroded the base of our expert.
Yeah.
Because to your point about if I have two presentations and they don't match, my first question is, well, who's the most expert resource?
Who do we? And the reality is it doesn't matter. It's whichever one's prettier.
It is.
Like that sounds ridiculous. But if what? Okay, like tell me this, right? No. You have an expert, they have a misspelling.
Yeah.
Right? You have someone who's new, fresh, excited, and has a pretty PowerPoint.
That's right.
Because you're like that, there's a signal mismatch, right? Where it's like, oh, there's a trust drop or something. I don't know what it is, to be honest. But it's like when that happens, especially as the closer it gets to the CEO, because it needs to be polished and polished and polished.
Right.
The closer it gets to the CEO, like if the CEO sees a misspelling from an expert that's been at the company for 35 years and they see something from a
consultant.
Let's say a consultant. Let's go with McKinsey for fun. Or, you know, whoever. Bain, Boston, whoever. Pick your consultant.
Right.
But if they compare those, right, and there's a misspelling by the internal person versus the professional polished McKinsey stuff, they will almost always go with that professional polished look. It's just human nature.
You know, what's funny to me, Chris, is that, you know, we've talked a lot about, both of us came into the work world at the burgeoning of the internet, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think just the little delta in our age, you guys probably had email as a foregone conclusion as you entered college.
Oh my gosh. The funniest thing. So freshman year of college, email is out, right?
Yeah.
It was literally like the most awesome thing. We would go down to the computer lab. Get this. We didn't have computers in our pocket. We didn't even have computers in our room. I think we had a typewriter. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, this is just totally dating myself. So go down and you would go down and people would like be staying up till 4 in the morning because you could send an email back and forth. It was hilarious. Anyway,
I love that. Well, what's funny is that I think we referred to it in the early days as democratizing information.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if you make it available, then people will see it on the face of its merits. And
yeah,
I think instead what we've discovered is the million ways that we can spin things to our own cause.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So in today's world, it's hard to discern because very few of us are experts in every topic we touch. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It does take time to really appreciate what makes an expert. So if you're new to the topic, everybody around you seems to know more. And that's that Dunning-Kruger curve. They all know just enough to be dangerous, but they don't all admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Like if you go to so I was thinking through the unvirtuous cycle. And if you look at the virtuous cycle.
By contrast, right?
By contrast, it starts with the grounding, right? Yeah. Which is when I receive something that's delivered or the knowledge work piece of work, when that's received, it needs to be grounding, meaning it's consistent. Right. So it also needs to, by definition, define how big this is.
Yeah.
Right. And the area. Right. So there needs to be some multiple things. There's probably more than that, but I think of that of I think if let's say it's a delivery is a PowerPoint, I think it should be 10 pages, completely standard stock, right? With 2 pages of autonomy, you can do whatever the heck you want on those 2 pages, sure. Right? Because we as humans, if we don't have autonomy, we're going to lose our mind. But again, it starts with that grounding, which leads to a familiarity, which should be boring.
Yeah. That context should be familiar for the majority, right?
Correct. Correct.
Here's what
and there should
about.
Be that boringness, right? Should also expose the exceptions. Mm. Because the exceptions are what the receiver should care about. And then those exceptions should lead you to the identifiable root cause, which should lead to a solution, which leads to trust, right? Which is kind of that virtual cycle. So those are just That's my musings of the day.
Chris, it makes me wonder generationally, you know, and then depending on the kind of expertise that you've developed, what is true can be a lot harder to discover. And so it does make me wonder if a significant number of leaders have simply failed to keep pace with how they identify what's true.
No.
You know, if the two PowerPoints feel like they carry equal merit, I don't know if that's the byproduct of not understanding the nature of data manipulation, or if it's that everybody is maybe so transient now that there's few experts.
Yeah. What's interesting is I've thought about the QBR process.
Yeah.
Of like, if I was to do some consulting on that QBR process, I would literally create a Microsoft form, a JOT form. I don't care what form it is.
Yeah.
Where it's literally prescriptive. Fill out the stupid thing.
Yeah. It's a status report.
Correct. Fill out the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Then give it to your design team to make the PowerPoints.
Right.
And then polish them.
Yeah.
Right. Like that would be a very, very efficient and like elegant workflow. And then what you could do, right, since you've got this all in a form, you basically say, we're going to change one thing per quarter.
Mm.
So you add, subtract. The other thing is you've got it in a form. So if you want to say what the people said before, you could just go back and check it, right? Like you could say, hey, look, you know, Joe.
What?
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. Last time you said it was going to be this. What happened?
What I love about that suggesting listeners take one more lap here, because what I like about that idea is that when we create a history and when we maintain some consistency, we can see the anomalies.
Yeah.
And we can kind of backtrack to see what the prior information was.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we develop a collective IQ. You know, we have to be able to reference and recontextualize new decisions.
Yeah.
Every time we try to radically transform, you know, and unlock synergies and all the buzzword being that I think doesn't really mean anything anymore because nobody knows what it means or how it's being used. All we've done is it's like this word vomit. So of course we need more meetings and we need more PowerPoints.
Yeah.
Can you craft two more memos and give me a TikTok dance on that idea? Yeah.
Well, and you and I worked on that cash flow calculator.
Yeah.
That was just basically like, look, here's your scenarios, right? It locks down, right? You could go and basically say, look, this is what I predicted. And then how well do you predict, right? Because I guarantee you there's three options when anytime you do a prediction. You're either lucky or wrong, right? Lucky being right and wrong being you are overly optimistic.
Yeah. Yep,
or you're pessimistic.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's no difference. And I think sometimes there's no mechanism to say, what did you predict and how accurate were you? So anyway, we are way over. We have gone to the 13-minute mark.
Oh.
So we are going to call it.
Well, that's what happened. But Yocho. So
I know.
Should have been
good stuff. Good.
Thank you, sir.
Good stuff, man. What a great talk. We'll catch you next time, man.
All right. Stay virtuous.
Yeah. All right, bye.